What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Power Rankings, guys. We are here to power rank anything and everything Survivor Michigan. As always, I'm Paul. I'm here with Joe.
Hi, everybody.
And man, another killer episode.
I am still in shock.
Ugh, I know. I'm right there with you.
I watched the episode a second time, got goosebumps watching it. I can't wait to talk about everything. It was just, what an insane episode. I think one of the craziest of maybe the entire franchise.
I totally agree. Because it was strange. It was as strange as it was crazy and strategic. There were watermelons. There was Reichenbach.
Oh, gosh.
There was an incredible, insane twist ending. There was a showmance. There was a reward challenge. I mean, to quote Stefan from Weekend Update, it had everything.
It really did. It almost felt like two episodes in one. It was like everything up to the immunity challenge was like its own episode. And then everything after the immunity challenge was a completely different animal. And I will say watermelons are ruined for me.
Yeah.
We will definitely talk about that, but
that's a big yikes for me too. Yeah. I was not a big watermelon person before that, but now it's like with the head smashing and everything else going on, it's like, no, thank you, please.
I don't eat watermelon that often, but like, it was just funny. I think watching it in like a post, well, I guess we're still technically kind of in the pandemic, but like in a pandemic world, here's what I'll say to it. Like, even as a kid, I was always, I don't know if you've ever done this, but I was always against the bobbing for apples.
Totally
situation.
Agree. Yes.
I'm like, everyone's putting their head into this water. And then like, I don't know. It's just always, I don't, it reminded me of that for some reason. I was always against that, even as a kid.
Yes, I am totally with you. I grew up as like a summer camp, church camp kid, which is a whole separate. But I was always like, no gross games. Like,
yes.
No. Like, I'm not about it. So the watermelon eating was not, it was not like ripping meat off a hanging carcass Survivor gross, but it was gross.
Yeah. And I do want to, I hope whenever, hopefully this is very much later in the season, but when Dale is on the podcast, I want to understand what was the strategy of smashing his head into the watermelon and just making it all go everywhere. I was confused by that. Did you try to understand what he was going for there?
I couldn't understand it, but it worked so well. Or it seemed like it worked well because they really dominated, Tokidoki dominated El Norte there.
Yeah, they
did.
And
so it was like, it was one of those things where he had a strategy I didn't understand. It worked, and I still don't understand how or why it worked.
Yeah, I feel the same way. We need to get answers on that. I feel like I feel like as every episode goes on, we have more and more questions for Dale. So I'm really excited to hear.
We're gonna have to do our own auxiliary interview with Dale when all this is over. Just to be like, so tell us about being born at Disney World.
Right.
Like, it's just a totally non-Survivor related interview. We just want to talk about Disney World and watermelons and what his wife thought.
Yes.
So exactly. we're gonna have to let's schedule a Power Rankings guy interview with the Dales, both of them, Dale and Mrs. Dale, and then really get to the heart of all of our questions.
Yes, I'm down.
So before we go any further, though, we do have to say, RIP Ben.
Yes.
Who I miss already. We were just talking last week about how high we both were on Ben.
I know.
And through halfway through this episode, I was high on Ben again.
Mm-hmm.
And it, go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. No, go ahead. You go.
It was just like, it all just started to unravel so quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we've seen episodes where people fall apart before, but it's rare to see one that quickly.
Yeah, and he even fixed his David versus Goliath buff. He was wearing it the right way this episode. I was like, okay, this is perfect. Like, he's got everything on the right way and ready to go. And yeah, it was so interesting because it's like, I think we even talked about it in the last episode about this sort of like Ben, Katie versus Camilla, Jack situation. Mm-hmm. little did we know we were going to get that in the very next episode.
I know.
But yeah, it just, what a strange, first of all, shout out to the storyboarding people, the editing team.
Yes.
How they kept that all together, because even watching it a second time, I was like, if I even was tasked with like following where everything went, because there were so many different people involved, I would have been completely lost. I would have just thrown my papers and pen into the air and just given up, because I think that was what was so fascinating about it. And I think what is really interesting about College Survivor is that you can talk to people on the other tribe. So it was just like with Ivy getting involved and Jackson and all this stuff, like just what a series of events. And for it to end up the way that it did, just absolutely mind-blowing.
And such a complex episode too. Mm-hmm. Like, it felt like there were so many layers, like we said at the top, so many different parts or acts to the episode.
Yep.
Yeah, it was wild. And I know we're going to get to it, but I think there's a lot of both credit and blame to go around in this episode.
Yes.
So whether it was how much of it was great, because I think there was some great strategy this week, and how much of it was kind of blunders, where I'm sure we'll get into breaking down. But got to start with, so sad to see Ben go so early.
Yeah.
Again, two seasons in a row, feeling like we have not gotten to peak Ben yet. So that is, that's a real shame. A great player, a great character.
Yeah.
Really seemed like things were coming together until they very much weren't.
Yes. And he will definitely be missed. I feel like,
yes,
you know, the season will not be the same without Ben. He's just one of a kind. So it's going to be a really different story moving forward.
And just a great tribal council reaction too, when he realized that it was him. Very like Michaela Bradshaw-esque for Ben on his way out. And Jack giving the Shawn Michaels to Ric Flair, "I love you, I'm sorry," on the way out the door. That's a pro wrestling reference. That's only if George listens to this podcast. He's the only person that'll appreciate that. But yeah, so I guess all we can do is just dive in and then take it as it comes. Man, what a tough week to do a top five.
Yeah, I really struggled, because it was kind of like some people did some good things to start and then didn't. I mean, we'll talk about it all. I don't know. This is going to be really, really interesting. Like, I'm very intrigued. I'm looking at it now and I'm like, I could shuffle around all the names. So again, I
totally
think this
agree.
Is going to be a week of like, just because somebody's at one or somebody's at five doesn't necessarily mean anything. But yeah, I'm very intrigued on who both of our fives are, or like, you know, all five of them, because it was tough for me because a lot was going on.
I agree. Maybe across three seasons now of ranking people, maybe one of the toughest weeks we've had.
Yeah, I agree.
So let's just get into it. Who is your number five?
So I put Nate.
Oh my gosh, I have Nate too.
Oh, perfect.
After that whole monologue, we have the same thing.
That's hilarious. And I have Nate ? Which is kind of funny, but
yes,
we'll get
accurate
into that, obviously. Mm-hmm. And I think, again, we said this in the last episode or maybe two episodes ago, like, we wanted to see Nate do something, right? Mm-hmm. We wanted him to like make his mark. And I think he played it well. Like, he used that information that he had about Megan sharing the idol clue with Jack and Camilla. Mm-hmm. I think he used that perfectly. I think he, you know, him going to Ben and Katie, I think was smart. So it was like, you know, and he was the target at the start,
yes,
at one point. So like, I had to put him on the list because he did play a big part in kind of getting the target off of him. Why he's at the bottom with a question mark is because he was completely left out of the vote.
Mm-hmm.
All five other people, he had no, like, you know, so that's huge as well, where it's like no one was even willing to let him in on what was actually going on, even though there was basically three plans happening at once.
Mm-hmm.
But he was the one that was left out from all five people. So that's why I put him at number five. I'm glad he did what he did. I think it was great that he got out of the crosshairs or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I think being the sole person to not have anything, you know, not, well, I guess obviously Ben and Katie didn't really know the true plan either, but the fact that he was kind of let out of both sides of the plans is why I have him at number 5 with a question mark.
I'm totally with you, and my reasoning was the same. Ben is really the, or excuse me, Nate is the really the one that gets the ball rolling this episode.
Mm-hmm.
He senses he's in danger, and he says, I have this weapon in my pocket, and I'm going to use it. I'm not going to go out and not use this information, and he does, and he saves himself, mm-hmm. which is so impressive and such a tough thing to do in Survivor. So many times
right. We
see people who have a pretty good idea that they're going home, but there's nothing they can do about it. And Nate really saves himself this mm-hmm. week. So I give him so many props for that because it shows skill. But the flip side goes back to what you say. He's totally out of the loop on the vote.
Right.
Katie votes for him. Ben and Katie both do, but Katie's still in the game. She votes for him. Megan, who is supposed to be his duo partner and closest ally, does not clue him in. Not only doesn't clue him in that, and who he's supposed to vote for, but doesn't clue him in that he's getting votes.
Right.
So he's kind of on an island here. Can he maybe link back up with Ivy if there's a swap next week, which sure looked like maybe there's going to be some sort of swap merge something next week.
Mm-hmm.
Can he link back up? Can he link up with Ivy? Can he find friends on the other tribe?
Right.
Maybe. So I think this week he showed that he's a good player, but he's still in a bad position. So I wanted to honor him with a slot in the power rankings, mm-hmm. but couldn't put him any higher than 5.
Yeah, I agree.
Because I think he's definitely outside of the tier of players that didn't make the top 5 for me. Because I think he's definitely better. He's in a better spot and a better player than those people, mm-hmm. but I don't think he's any better than any of the rest of anybody on my list.
Yeah,
so there you go.
That's fair. Yeah.
Alrighty, number 4. Who do you have?
This was very tough to do, but I put Camilla.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Yeah,
I have Camilla in 3, so okay. We're on similar parallels here.
Yeah. It was very strange writing her name that far down.
Sure.
And I'm trying to even think of why I did that, but I think it was because I don't know, like, she had a part to play in this whole thing, but I feel like mm-hmm. other people were doing more.
Yes, I agree.
So I think that's why I lowered her on the list. And I feel like, honestly, and I'm sure we'll get to her later, but if it wasn't for Megan kind of cluing them in, like, Jack potentially could have been actually blindsided and Camilla would have been like the Nate of the situation, being left out of the whole situation. So it's not a knock to her or her game or anything like that. I just feel like other people in this episode did more. So mm-hmm. I kind of had to lower her on the list. And this is just a complete sidebar, has nothing to do with the ranking, but I loved how she dubbed herself the hottest person of the cast. I was just dying at that. That was so funny.
She's so good every week in confessional and that whole thing. So
right.
good.
So yeah, that's why I had her in 4. Again, wasn't a knock to her game or anything like that. I just felt like other people in the whole grand scheme of this entire situation, I feel like other people did more that sort of affected what happened, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I'm there with you. I kept her at 3 because I still don't feel like she's in any real danger.
Mm-hmm.
But she was the most out of the loop she's been through 4 episodes in this episode.
Yeah.
And like you said, if Megan doesn't do what she does, she could have been in serious trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And even then, even at the beginning of the episode when it seemed like it was going to be Nate, that wasn't that great of a move for Camilla.
Right.
So I feel like this is the first week we've seen a little bit of vulnerability. Like she's really, I don't know how well she's doing. But again, I like her in a swap type situation. I like her in any of those places. So I kept her at 3. But I totally agree and endorse everything you said, because I do think that this is the first time we've seen her vulnerable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah. All right. And in my fourth spot, I had Dale.
Okay. I can't believe I'm saying this, but Dale is not on my list at all.
Oh, okay. I'm very interested to find out who you have also on your list then.
Yeah. And I'll just say quickly, again, nothing against him or his game. I think I was just so focused on the El Norte vote that I wanted to sort of put everybody that I felt like was super involved with that in the top five. And I feel like Dale maybe had a tiny bit to do with it. Not necessarily a lot. So I feel like, I had to unfortunately remove him from the list, which was really tough to do.
Definitely. I'm still very in on the Dale game. I think he's still in a good spot. I like that he's sort of the catalyst for this Jackson Megan thing. So even though he's not there, he's still, he is aware of it. So that gives him that information that makes him more powerful. Yep. I think he's still in a better spot than Matthew, Shannon, or Kat, to be honest. So I think he is doing well on that Tokidoki thing. And I think even in a swap situation, I think Dale has his idol. I hope he's going to be antsy to use it if he gets into trouble, because I don't want him holding on to that thing. And I think he will be. I think he's got enough connections in the game that I don't think he's going to have to use it. But even if he does, I think he's good. So I still like Dale, just I like him at four instead of three.
Gotcha. Yeah, that totally makes sense. I think he's definitely in a great position on his tribe, so that hasn't changed. Again, I think I was just so laser focused in on this vote that I just was like, okay, this week he can sit comfortably at a very, very close number six on my list.
I feel you. I'm there with you. All right. So who do you, I have Camilla in my number three. We talked about that. So who do you have in your number three?
I have Jackson.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Yes.
I have Jackson in my number one spot.
Wow. Okay.
So this is interesting. Yeah. So why Jackson at three?
So I could have actually put him at number two. I was honestly sitting here about to just change it, but I'm like, no, I'm going with my gut and what I put down the first time. I mean, love this episode for Jackson. We have, and I guess, I don't know if there's a hashtag yet, but maybe we can create it now. But I have hashtag Maxson or hashtag Megson, or I don't know if we have another one that we can come up with, but
I think it's got to be Maxson, right? Maxson,
okay.
I think Maxson is great.
I say we go with it. You heard it here first.
Yes.
If it's not a hashtag yet, it is now. Let's get it trending.
Totally agree.
But no, I think he played a huge part in this whole situation. I loved the him and Megan meetup and the music that was playing behind it. Like, he's just so fun to watch, and I loved this Jackson Megan sort of, you know, them meeting up and talking, and like, just, you know, he brings up that he was asked if he would be in a showmance, and Megan may or may not have a small crush on him, and I don't know, it was just very funny. And I think I loved when he was kind of like relaying all this information to her about the El Norte tribe, and she was like, how the heck are you getting this information? Which he later reveals was because of Ivy. But yeah, I think he had a big part to play in this. And I think I love the Megan and Jackson situation. So again, I think I could have easily had him at number two, but I just had him at number three this time.
I love Jackson's game right now, even though I do think that he might be one of those characters that's like headed for a big downfall. Like his pride is temporary, his fall is permanent kind of thing. But I don't care. I'm still putting him at the top. He's 5-0 in challenges he participated in. Undefeated in challenges. He's got relationships. He's in with everybody. Mm-hmm. Everybody wants to work with him. Now he's got this thing with Megan, which in turn puts him in with that Jack and Camilla thing because Megan was so instrumental in that. I think Jackson's stock is going to the moon. I can't. And so I couldn't put him any place but number one this week because I think he got a big player out of the game by his actions too. Even though I don't give him the most credit for that, I put him at number one because I think he's in the best position in the game. I think he has the most information of anybody in the game. And I think he's in the hub of everything. So I couldn't be higher on Jackson this week.
Yeah, I agree. And I think what you said too about he, you know, connecting with Megan also sort of connects him with Camilla and Jack, even indirectly if they've not met up yet.
Yeah.
So I think if we see a swap next week, I think any sort of combination of tribes that he's on, I think he's perfectly fine because he's great in a great spot with his original tribe. And now he's built these bridges with the other tribes. So I feel like he would be someone that wouldn't get swapped screwed at all.
Totally agree. I think he's all over. Mm-hmm. So I'm way in on Jackson still. So who is your number two then?
So I have Ivy.
Okay, I thought we were going to get down to this. Ivy is not on my list.
Wow. I'm kind of surprised by that. And this is the first time she's on my list. And I know you had her, I think, a couple weeks ago.
I think this is the first time through three seasons we've had a major disagreement about a player.
So, well, I'm going to be very interested to hear why she's not on yours. But I feel like she was a huge factor in this whole situation. I think now it was sort of Ben's blunder to go to her. And as I was even watching it a second time, I was just like, there was no reason to say all this stuff to her. Like, I know that they were close and, you know, friends, I think, outside of the game and all of that. But I was like, to give your entire plan to someone is before it happened. Like, I could see him sort of going through everything after Tribal. Granted, it went the way that he wanted it to, but I just felt like that was, you know, I felt like that was a testament to Ivy's social game with him. And then I kind of liked that she was kind of just like letting her tribe know exactly what was being said on the other side. Now it's going to be interesting to see what happens if there is a swap or a merge, because if the whole other side of the tribe kind of finds out that, well, I don't know. Actually, I think that's fine because she basically kind of helped Jack stay. So I was kind of thinking like maybe they would be like, oh, well, she's not to be trusted. She told her tribe everything, but she was really just relaying a lot of what Ben was saying. So anyway, I don't know. I felt like she had a big part to play in that with telling her tribe, because then that was telling Jackson, which was then getting back to Megan, which was kind of setting that whole snowball effect into play. So I felt like she had a major part to this, because the way that I was trying to map it out, if Ben had never said anything to her or she didn't say anything to her tribe, I don't know if the same outcome would have happened. And I felt like, you know, she was willing to kind of stick her neck out for Nate, essentially, to kind of save him. So, you know, if they meet up in a swap or merge, I feel like she has an instant, like, automatic probably number one with Nate. So I don't know. I really liked the part that she played in this episode. So I'm interested to hear why she didn't make a splash enough to be on yours.
I think she definitely made a splash. And I think she was maybe the catalyst for what happened, even over Megan and Jackson, for what happened. And I think it put her in a horrible position going forward, because what happens is the target comes off of Nate and then it's on to Jack, which is the absolute best thing that can happen for Ivy, because she's got relationship with Nate and she's got relationship with Ben. And it seems like she has decent relationships with people on her tribe. Like, she's there at that dinner, whatever. And then for no reason really at all, she just dumps on Ben to her tribe. It doesn't earn her any capital with them, I don't think. And what happens at the end of the day is the one person in the game who was coming to her and telling her everything, because it wasn't even like Nate wasn't going to Ivy being like, oh my God, I'm going to get voted off. Ben was going to Ivy being like, oh my gosh, I can't wait until we work together. Let me tell you about all this. I trust you totally. And so now she's in the game where Ben's gone. Her whole tribe is like, thanks for telling us all this stuff, I guess. And then Jackson takes the information and uses it to his huge advantage. And now Ivy's stuck in the game where nobody really, I don't feel like the people on her tribe really trust her, because I don't think that gained her any momentum or capital. She wasn't in a good place on her tribe before. She would have been in a much better place working with El Norte people moving forward. But now Nate has no home on El Norte. So her only chance of really putting something together and moving forward is gone, because now Nate's the total outsider on El Norte.
Yeah, that's such an I like that perspective, because it's making me think. But I think she's in an interesting spot of like, it's one of those, it's like the crossroads situation. It's like, does this truly negatively affect her, or does it truly help her? I feel like, again, in a swap or merge, like, again, I'm trying, it's funny, I'm trying to, have you seen, oh my gosh, Queen's Gambit?
No, oh I haven't, but people keep telling me to watch it.
As soon as possible. But something that she does, I don't know why I'm thinking this is helping, but like, she'll look up at, it's like about chess. So she looks up in the, at the ceiling and like plays chess on the ceiling or whatever. So I keep just like looking up at the, my ceiling to try to like look at the map of like where everything went with this whole situation. And I feel like I will be interested to see what Jack, Megan, and Camilla think of what Ivy did, because I feel like they would kind of appreciate it in a way if they're able to connect all the dots and figure out like what happened. Because again, I don't think if Ivy would have said anything to anyone, I think Jack potentially would be gone, or even Nate. I don't know. I like your perspective on it though, because I didn't think about it that way. So yeah, again,
I think it's definitely one of those things where one of us is going to turn out to be right going forward. Like, maybe they're, maybe Jack, Megan, and Camilla are going to be like, oh my gosh, yes, Ivy, come be a, don't be a part of the Tokidoki, come be a part of us, and use her in a swap situation since they're down numbers, and then suddenly she'll be in a power position, you know? But
she did all that for Nate, which they left out of their vote, so it's kind of like, her spot is really interesting right now, and I think, like it literally could go one of two ways. So I'm very intrigued on where that goes. But I had to put her on the list just because I felt like I had to just, even if it maybe wasn't the best for her game, if that's what it turns out to be, I just feel like at least in this episode, like, she was just such a huge factor in this whole situation. So I was just like, I have to put her on here.
I definitely wanted to talk about her, so I'm actually glad that she's on your list, because I was going to talk about her when our list went up anyway, because you're right. She was the linchpin, really, this episode. It was the information she provided that really ended up sending Ben home, and was the only reason Ben's name was even really brought into anything was her. It's just the whether that was good or bad for her in the long term, I think, is what remains to be seen.
Yeah.
So it's definitely exciting. I do think she is going to be one to watch in the next couple episodes, because I think what happens next is going to continue. She's now in it. She's a major player now. So
that's what I was just going to say. Like, now it's like you said, she's one to watch now. And I'm glad that we're at that point where it's like, okay, maybe we didn't have to keep our eye on her as much in the earlier episodes, but it's kind of like, now I'm very intrigued on where her game goes from here. Which I'm
happy
totally
about. Agree.
So,
yes.
Cool.
I totally agree. So we shall see what happens, but that only leaves your number one, who probably should have been my number one, but I flip one and two back like several times trying to think of which way to go. So your number one is
Miss Smiley herself, the one and only Megan.
Yeah.
I absolutely loved this episode for her. And again, I think we said it earlier with Nate, we were asking, we were like, we need Megan to do something.
Yes.
And boy, did she take our advice and do something.
Yep.
I don't know. I think we said this last week where we're like, is she just kind of going along with things? Like, is she going to make a move? I think she made a huge move here. I think I love that she was kind of adamant about not getting rid of Nate as the safe vote. And I'm putting that in quotes. She kind of stood her ground with that. I think her connecting with Jackson was perfect. She got so much information from that. I feel like she really, I like how she sort of like assessed the, like with all the information that she got, she assessed the situation for her. I don't think she was like necessarily doing this, oh, I just need to save Jack to save Jack or something like that. Like, I think she really was trying to figure out what her best move was for her. And I think that's why I really enjoyed like watching this episode, like, you know, seeing it from her perspective. And, you know, she, Camilla and Jack were lying to her face about things, and she was still able to put some of that aside and be like, but still, I kind of need them. Like, I'm not going to cut off these two allies because of that. Like, she was willing to look past that. She went, you know, she, I think she went to Camilla about the, you know, them all going to Jack's house or whatever when she was, Camilla was supposed to be at the library. I love that aspect. I liked the conversation where, like, Jack comes in and he's like, I'm very uncomfortable right now. And it was like, Camilla was like, Megan, you're like Jesus right now. Like, you can, you're saving us both. Like,
yes.
I just loved, like, Megan just like rose up to, you know, to number one on my list. Just, I just really loved seeing what she did in this episode. And, like I said before, like, I feel like she took the game into her own hands, that she had such a major part as well in this whole thing happening. She kept her composure. She was smiling a lot. I saw it. I know she was in the back row of Tribal. She was smiling a lot during that Tribal, which I'm like, how was she able to keep her composure with that whole situation? But I don't know. I loved it. I loved this episode for Megan. She was my easy number one this week.
I also feel great about Megan. It seemed like at Tribal she was trying not to smile and still failing.
Yeah.
And another one of my notes just says, is Megan into Jackson or can she just not stop smiling? It was hard to read because I was like, because they were both smiling a ton in that meeting. And I was like, on paper, it looks like they're both really feeling each other. But Megan also just smiles a lot. So I think it's hard to read whether she was that into the whole Jackson thing or whether she was just defaulting to her smile. But again, like you said, brilliant episode for Megan. Probably should have been my number one. I think Ben going home benefits her the most of anyone in the game.
Yeah.
I think it's the perfect move for her. I think on my first rewatch, on my first watch, so I watched it Monday live on YouTube, and I think I sent a text on Monday that was just said Jack M.F. Tiggleman, because I was like, man, way to go, Jack. And then on my second watch, you rewatch it, and really, Jack, don't get me wrong, Jack is great. And Jack in that meeting with Ben is fantastic and is probably the reason that it doesn't work out to be a 3-3 tie is the work Jack does in that meeting. But man, Megan is the real breakout star of this episode. And it, this is really, she could have easily gone along and voted Nate out. And she could have easily gone along and voted Jack out. And she doesn't do either of those things. She really takes the reins for herself and gives away two easy plays to set herself in a brilliant position. My only concern, and I think this is the only reason I bumped her into two, is I'm worried after this week that she's not anybody's number one. Like, she's got this thing with Jackson, she's got this thing with Jack and Camilla, and she's got this thing with Nate. But I'm worried about her relationship with Nate after this episode. I'm worried that her and Jackson might be a marriage of convenience for him. And then Jack and Camilla are still obviously each other's number ones. So there's the only reason, and the only, and I still, despite that, probably should have put her at number one, but my, that was my hesitation, was I'm thinking, who is Megan's person? Who is Megan's ride or die here? If she can scoop Nate back up in this episode, then I think she's a mortal lock number one. Absolutely. And so I'm excited, but I think it's exactly what we said last week. Where is Megan? Is she gonna, does she have it in her? Can she make a move? The answer is definitively yes. Megan, we know now Megan has that gear. She can make a move. I am officially moving Megan off of Nicole Senti watch. She is not going, she is not playing a losing finalist game. No disrespect to Nicole Senti, who I love. Go back and read the Maryland All-Star blogs on Reddit if you want to know how much I love her. I do. But I think her game is now evolving of whereas she is the nice girl with an edge now. And that is playing for her best interest. And I am super high on Megan this week too. I love Megan's game. I'm so impressed with her. I have a million cheers to Megan this week.
And I think it is interesting that you said she doesn't necessarily have a number one, but that might actually not be a bad thing right now, because let's say they swap or they merge. Like, there's so much, so many other things going on that I think she could actually sort of like slip back under the radar for a couple weeks and then sort of emerge again. Because you even saw too, I'm pretty sure like Ben only, now he didn't really have a strong relationship with Megan, so it kind of makes sense, but like he only looked at or had some sort of reaction at Jack and Camilla. Like he didn't even say anything to Megan or look at Megan or anything. So I think if she plays her cards right, I think she could kind of like slip back into the background a little bit, maybe try to build a bridge back with Nate. Because here's the thing. Nate was blindsided by the entire tribe. So I think Megan, if she, you know, gets to Nate first or whatever, I think she has a good chance of building back something with him. But I think, like, going into a merge, let's say, you know, Jack and Camilla as a two is going to be a huge thing. You know, Jackson, Matthew, Dale is going to be a huge thing. Like, there's all these like twos and threes that I think people will start looking at. And I think if Megan plays her cards right and kind of blends back in with the background for a little bit, I think she could, you know, emerge later on as like, you know, they kind of underestimate her a little bit. And then, you know, bam, we're at like final five and she's like set up well. So again, great episode for Megan. Can't wait to see what happens with her game going forward. Was very, very excited to put her at number one.
Yes, absolutely. I think, yeah, you made a lot of great points. I think you were absolutely right there. To cover, let's see, we talked about six of the new players. The only ones we didn't talk about were Kat, Shannon, and Katie. Kat and Shannon, again, this has to be heading towards a blow up, right?
Absolutely.
It's just a matter of when, not if. Got to be heading towards a blow up. And then obviously nervous for Katie. Ben going home is the worst thing that could have happened to her.
It will be really interesting to see what she does from here. She's kind of in like a Nate situation. Like, she lost her closest ally. Obviously, that four of her, Ben, Jack, and Camilla are not a thing anymore. So I'm interested to see like how she recovers from this and where her game goes from there.
Yes. The preview made it seem like she was going full Shiann, like full, like, screw these people, I'm switching tribes, whatever. So that could be interesting. We'll see how it, as always, we'll see how it plays out. All right. On to our returners.
So I actually still have four on mine.
Oh, okay.
So I couldn't. About this. I put Eric Reichenbach as number four on my returners list.
Oh, okay.
I mean, wonderful. I figured why not talk about Eric again.
Yes. Well,
A, it was very weird to not have four returners to rank again.
Yes, agreed.
R.I.P. Ben. I don't know. Just wanted to shout out Eric. I think it was really cool seeing him come back to compete in a challenge like that. Like he even said, like basically like swapping spit with all these randos. Like, I don't know. I just thought that was really cool. I loved, first of all, his confessional with his golden retriever was the cutest thing I've ever seen. I don't know. I just wanted to throw him on the list. I thought it was really cool. I think it was really nice of him to like, you know, go be a part of that. And I thought it was interesting. Like Jack calling out for them to give up the immunity. I thought that was really bold. So I liked Eric's take on that. But yeah, I just figured.
Yeah. It's so funny. I mean, hugest shout out to Eric for being a part of this. So cool of him. So awesome. So cool to see him. Especially because he spends the whole episode getting roasted by everyone, which yeah. is so bizarre. Like, it's like every, like, people were taking shots at Eric in confessional and then Jack at the challenge. It's like, it's so cool of him mm-hmm. to just take it all in stride, do this weird challenge, be a part of it. Like, couldn't have been a cooler, nicer, more right. awesome guy. Totally, like, absolutely now, like, if we do a, like, live know-it-alls or whatever, Eric is, like, getting close to number one on my list of people to meet, just because he seems like the coolest dude
ever. And when
ever.
Would we ever have the chance to put an actual CBS Survivor player on our rankings? So I was like,
we have to. Exactly. I'm super appreciative that you took that opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Mad shout out to Eric. So now number three. Now nobody has to be at the bottom of our list, which is nice. So we can move on to number three.
I had Matthew. So he's moved.
As did I.
Up since last week, which is good. love Matthew yes. still, I think. Again, I mean, this episode was just so focused on, at least for me, like the El Norte stuff. So mm-hmm. I feel like, you know, again, it wasn't anything that he was doing or not doing. He had some great confessionals. Yeah, I just think it's like, you know, I think we said this like an episode or two. Well, it seems like the season one airing has sort of died down, so we're not really hearing much about that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think he's in a good spot. I think it's really, now that one returner is gone, it's like, does that make it worse for the three remaining returners? Or are they able to kind of fade back a little bit? I feel like when information comes out, maybe about how everything went down, I think obviously eyes are kind of going to be on mm-hmm. Jack. Because it kind of was like a Ben versus Jack situation. Mm-hmm. Jack was able to pull himself out of that. So it's like, does that, does Jack's target get bigger, which then helps Matthew? But yeah, I feel like just mm-hmm. because, you know, we haven't seen Tokidoki lose much, Matthew hasn't been tested too much. So I have him at number three this week.
Yeah, I actually think Matthew had a great week this week, and he's only at number three by jurisdiction of mm-hmm. the other two people he's being ranked against. If this were an overall ranking, I think Matthew would be having a great week too. I think anytime he can be in sort of an under-the-radar position is good for him. I think it's helpful. I think him not being in the middle of the action this week, even though it was obviously a big week, is really good sign that mm-hmm. he's willing to play that game and not having to be the godfather every single episode. Again, I don't think Ben was somebody Matthew was ever going to work with. And so I don't think mm-hmm. losing Ben really hurts him. And I think there's a lot less itch to get the blood of a returner now that one's already gone. I think that kind of itch to get one out has been scratched, at least for the time being. So I actually mm-hmm. Matthew had a
and I feel like just thinking about his tribe overall, I feel like he's still in a really good spot. I don't see anyone necessarily wanting to like target him early. Again, if we see a swap, mm-hmm. that could change. But it's again like 1, 2, and 3 is very close on our list, so it's. You know, that is
absolutely
just kind of how things are going right now. But yeah, I think great week mm-hmm. for Matthew. 100%.
Still strongly pro Matthew for sure.
I had
Aliza. Who is your number two then?
Which
I also
very
had Aliza at number two.
To move her out of the one spot.
Very tough to do.
And
we keep saying we're not going to move her out of the one spot until she makes a mistake, and then we keep moving her out of the one spot. So I think for Aliza this week, again, obviously she did not have a bad week.
Right.
She didn't do anything or make any mistakes. Last time I moved Aliza out of the one spot, she had a fantastic week next week. So I'm hoping that maybe I'm giving Aliza some good luck for next week again, like giving her some good mojo. But again, she still zoomed in on Dale having the idol. So it wasn't a fluke. She's trusting her reads, which I love. She's obviously still in a great position. So there just wasn't much of her this week. But again,
yeah,
all good.
I completely agree. We didn't see too much from her, but going off of prior weeks, and she has that idol in her pocket that hopefully no one else knows about. I think she's set up very well. Mm-hmm. I think for her, because she was on a season with Ben, I feel like this might help her, actually. I think it removes that aspect of like, oh, well, Ben and Elisa are obviously going to work together when they, you know, join back up. So I think this gives her a little bit more freedom to strengthen bonds with other people. And I feel like she would be, I think in a swap or merge, like other newbies from maybe the other tribe would, I mean, how could you not warm up to her in any situation? But I think with Ben being out of the game, I think that kind of frees her up a little bit of like, okay, I don't have to worry about her and Ben being like a secret pair or whatever. So still in a great spot. Mm-hmm,
exactly.
It was weird moving her out of number one for me. I think that was the first time this season. But again, she made no mistakes. It was just because of everything that was going on El Norte. So still, she's in a great spot. You know, that has not changed.
Yes, I totally agree. Yep. But number one this week had to be.
Oh, 100%.
Had to be Jack Tickleman. Oh my gosh.
Speechless about just this whole situation.
Nothing to say.
Him getting pumped up to that. I don't know what that song was.
Oh,
but,
man.
That was really interesting. I don't know. Just what a week for him. Just with this whole scenario playing out. I mean, we saw him like very vulnerable. Like he went from just in such a great position to just like basically almost out of the game. And so many different factors had to have, as we talked about, to kind of lead up to him staying. But as I think you mentioned before, that hour and a half that he spent with Ben, like, come on. If you were able to go and apologize for things, confess to things, build a bond back with someone who is ready to vote you out, and then in turn blindside that person and be a part of a 3-2-1 vote. Like, come on. Yeah.
It's insane. I mean, it's just insane. He goes into that meeting with Ben back against the wall, and Ben has all the power, and Jack finesses it so perfectly where he's confessing things to Ben that he knows Ben already knows, but he's still confessing it to come clean, and he's apologizing. It just, I mean, he could not have done it. If he was watching the season, he could not have played that better. Really. And so you just, he walks out of there saying, that's the best Survivor I've ever played. I agree. I think it's Jack's best moment through two seasons. I think getting rid of Ben is good for him. I think moving forward, he's still in a good spot because I think both Matthew and Elisa.
Yeah,
would
and also like Ben
him.
Kind of threw the first punch, right? So I think that actually benefits Jack as well because that's the truth. So it's like, well,
and everybody on Tokidoki knows it. So it's not like he's giving his side of the story, going, "No, no, guys." Blah, 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 this happened. They all know because of the
Ivy
and
Jackson thing.
So I
think that actually sets him up even better than before, especially with people on the other tribe, because it's like, Ben tried to make the move first, and it didn't work. I had to save myself. So it's like, with everybody knowing that, like you said, I think on top of everything that he had to do, his target might be slightly bigger, but on the flip side, I think that, I don't think that's actually going to really hurt him in any situation. And again, it one returner out of the game. I feel like it as like a new player, it's like, oh, they're not like,
what's the word? They're not invincible, right? Like, returners invincible. Can go. So I think just it changes the game up a lot. And but I feel like, yeah, Jack putting in that work with Ben was just insane to watch.
I mean, if he can do that with Ben, who's a great player, and I think somebody who has a lot of social acumen and like a high emotional IQ, if he can do that with Ben, I don't know that there's anybody in the game that he can't work. I'm not saying like to perfection or anything, but I'm saying if he can ride that wave with Ben and flip it so much that Ben and Katie don't vote for him, I think that even if he's it, like, because going forward, maybe he's not in the best position. He is still in a little bit of a vulnerable position. But even if he is, who cares? If he continues to play at this clip and continues to have this kind of read on the game, continues to have this kind of like clarity with what's going on and ability, I can't. There's no way he wasn't going at the top of my list this week.
What a move. What a week. Ugh.
And again, we finish another one of these episodes saying, and what's going to happen?
Yeah, and I like that. Where are we going kind of next week? Around, and I like that we've had different people on our list, and it's making the season even better. It's just like things can change so quickly. We can be like super high on someone one week, and then they have a huge downfall the next. And I think it's keeping us on our toes, and I'm sure everybody that's watching. So just making the season, you know, even better than it could have been. So very, very excited. Yeah.
These are the things that make a great Survivor season, is when every episode sort of is its own independent thing. I mean, going from Aaron to Tom to Adam to Ben now, I don't feel like at the end of any of our episodes we were walking away saying, oh, the next boot is going to be person X. I don't think we ever really walked away saying that. I think every episode has been unique. It's been strange. We haven't been able to see much coming. And so I think it's one of those things that it gets you excited every month or every Wednesday night to be like, who's next?
Yeah,
what's next?
And same.
So,
and we have
I
just
remain
a couple
excited.
Days until the next episode, which is awesome.
I am ready. So on that note, thank you for staying with us for another episode of the Power Rankings,
bye,
guys.
Everyone.
And we will see you next week.